Where did you see this?
That's classified.
It's what?
It's classified. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
You like that?
Be the fifth.
I won't be on your soul.
Knowing it doesn't make it true. Yeah.
That's another way to think about it.
Now you're doing a heck of a job.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Hey, I'm 770KGTH. Brian Suits here, the 15th of August. It's a Monday, yesterday morning. Beacon Hill says,
anybody got a
flashbang? Seattle SWAT says, we might be able to help. That and more, a really great folksy anecdote that will localize me and make me even closer and warmer in your heart right after this. Also, the housing market in China is melting down in a way that, well, we can only reel in horror at. The country's on fire. What can I do to reduce the heat? Said which ex-president to Attorney General Merrick Garland. Back in a second, AM 7, with that answer right after this. Let's get you to work with Right Way Traffic. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. I was going to get four new tires on my truck yesterday, and the guy told me to hold off until August 29th because the ones I wanted are going to go on sale. Isn't that a great story, Greg?
Oh, that's the whole folksy anecdote?
The real, the longer one, full of emoting and local references, that's at the 6 a.m. hour. You can text suits to 800-465-8770.
You got to milk that for all it's worth. Extend it a little bit.
And you know what? Because when you go to this one place, you budget time. Because, you know, they can't do it in 10 minutes. It takes about an hour to do, you know, four tires. But what luck, there's other shopping to do at phenomenally low prices because it's a big place of local origin. And you have to show your picture on their own ID to get in. So I did another pass by the meat section and, yep, validated my decision to buy him a freezer when I did. So there's that. Though I think the really high prices are going to be coming in real soon. This is folksy. Who else is losing chickens to the coyote tax? Anyone? A pretty well-fed female coyote did a pass around 6 a.m. yesterday in front of the house. The dogs go nuts inside the house. And I looked at her from the kitchen window. And she made eye contact with me and moved along. And just because the chickens are out. They're eating grass and bugs, being chickens. And this is part of the issue with raising chickens around dogs is that I've got super friendly dogs. They grew up around chickens. They know. They haven't put together that chickens are made of meat. That chickens are actually made of chicken. The coyote holds no such ignorance.
The coyote knows they're edible.
They know everything that smells like chicken is chicken. And so I've lost a couple, but we're good. That may be too folksy. Sorry about that. You know what's really folksy? Domestic violence, which I denounce. And also I'm calling for an end to gun violence and any and all domestic violence. And I'm standing up to leukemia, so knock it off, you leukemia. In Beacon Hill yesterday, the neighborhood was awakened by Seattle SWAT called there because of a domestic violence call.
The SWAT have been in the neighborhood all morning long.
Yeah, let's check back in with Fox 13's Dan Griffin because we've had some changes that have happened over the last several minutes there, Dan.
Like flashbangs.
Yes, and so we've seen a gentleman brought out in handcuffs. We are told by officers here on the scene that was the man who was barricaded in the home. You can see a live look here right now. This is still the scene. SWAT vehicles here, Seattle police as well. But we've seen neighbors starting to kind of come out of their homes to get a better idea of what's going on. This all started more than 3 hours ago here on 23rd Avenue South and South College Street.
Anyway, this is Sunday morning, Beacon Hill, blah, 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 flashbang.
He's here on the scene telling me that the man involved who was barricaded in the house, who they'd been communicating with a megaphone and even using flashbangs, he's been brought out in cuffs. He's been taken into custody.
I guess your cameras are off for that. Anyway, so there's that. It's Sunday morning. I mean, no one wants to. Seattle SWAT is like, just flashbang him out of there, which is better than a different outcome. And I don't know, by the way, what Q13's Dan Griffin didn't tell me was, okay, so you're barricaded, but is he barricaded and armed? I mean, what's wrong with just, hey, dude, you know how this ends? Just come out now. But any chance to use a flashbang, I am all for it. So this, what we were talking about there before the top of the hour is that I'm sort of over it with experts on TV who know all about how seriously they took classified stuff. But the thing that's not being said, as I say, is that none of them ever held the title of president of the United States. So there's that. The obstruction of justice thing is, I think, has a lot more stickiness. But what's really clear is that if Trump is reelected, and yes, he is running, and if he's reelected, you can thank Merrick Garland for that. Andrew McCarthy from the National Review said this on Fox.
I think he was goaded into saying that he reviewed it personally because we went through.
Talking about the Merrick Garland presser where he said that he personally reviewed the warrant. And I think Andrew McCarthy has a great point here.
Was goaded into saying that he reviewed it personally because we went through several days where the coverage of it was as if he was a spectator, as if he was a passenger on the ship, not the captain of the ship, which the attorney general is supposed to be. So I think a lot of his statement the other day was theater in that regard to correct that impression. Ultimately, I think he's going to be sorry he said that he personally reviewed this warrant because, you know, we're talking a lot about the classified information aspect of it. This warrant is so open-ended. And it so defies the Fourth Amendment's requirement that a warrant specifically describe the things that the agents are allowed to seize. This is a general warrant. This is basically what we have the Fourth Amendment to prevent. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned before, every shred of paper that was generated by the Trump administration can be collected under this warrant. It doesn't have to have an iota of connection to classified information or classified.
So, I mean, you get the gist of that. I was when Tuesday morning broke. I assumed that if you're gonna go at a former president with a search warrant, that it's gonna be that absolute Natsas engineer. You know, the blue room with the red doorknob and all that airtight thing. As Napoleon said, if you set out to take Vienna, take Vienna, and it was not. And it was amazingly broad.
Yeah, and Andy McCarthy, he invokes the Fourth Amendment there, which, of course, for the uninitiated, it's about
quartering troops in your private residence.
No, unreasonable searches and seizures of a person, his house, his papers, and all his possessions.
And you have to be specific, because, do you have read the whole amendment?
That was me paraphrasing it there, but let me see if I can pull up. Every subject has a right to be secure from unreasonable searches, seizures, person, houses, papers, and possessions. All warrants, therefore, are contrary to this right if the cause or foundation of them be not previously supported by oath or affirmation. And then it goes on and on.
But it goes on to say the specifics of the warrant and the residence and, mm-hmm. and all that. It is a constitutional amendment. And so that's why, like Seattle police, Seattle police SWAT generate their own warrants. They throw it at a lawyer, and it has to be the blue house on the corner with the north facing red door and the bunny rabbit painted on the doorknob, and this is what we expect to find in there, and all that. It's gotta be like that, because a defense attorney can say it's a bad warrant. You know, so, and so therefore bad search, you know, et cetera. One of the crazy parts about what's going on right now is now knowing full well that this is waving a red flag in front of a tiny percentage of Trump supporters. There's one less in Cincinnati, Ohio than there was this time last week. But there's going to be a tiny minority of fringe on the left or the right, in this case on the right, and they're going to be triggered by this. So now it's a story unto itself on the CNN and the MSNBC, because Attorney General Merrick Garland brought that up on Friday about, you know, threats to agents and all this. And Breitbart published the two of the FBI agents that wrote the warrant. They have names, they have addresses, they have social media. Breitbart published that. And I don't think they should have, but they did. So there's that. but this is, you know, to me, the classified stuff is a nice shiny object for people who've never held the classification or a clearance, I should say, which is like 0.1% of Americans have ever held a clearance. And so there's a lot of detours and distractions. But to me, this absolutely puts Trump front and center. I mean, you know, if they ever put him in handcuffs, forget about it. You know, we're already in sort of terra incognita with a warrant being served on a former president. So, you know, don't be surprised if he has certain acolytes, just like Bill Clinton would have the acolytes. The guy who shot Steve Scalise, the Republican, who saw him coming. Anyway, back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. KTTH, Brian Suits here, and back to this in a second. Coming up, China is about to melt down. I didn't know this. 80% of Chinese, that's 80% of 1.7 billion people, they buy a house before it's built. They mortgage it. They're paying on a house before it's built. And that includes condos. And a whole bunch of projects, and by whole bunch, I mean hundreds of thousands of buildings around China that were operating on literally cash being paid them for unbuilt buildings are now in a cash crunch. They're not going to build the buildings. They're not going to complete them. And in China, where 100 years ago, 70 years ago, your retirement plan was your property, your farm, but it was also your son's. So, okay, the one-child policy comes along, and let's hope you have a son. What people found was, okay, then I guess it's property. Oh, we had a daughter, but so we, you know, it better be property. And so for a lot of people, they paid their life, they paid their retirement nest egg for a condo that is now halted. They stopped making it 3 months ago when one couple finds out. And good luck getting your money back. I mean, their housing market is a house of cards. So I'll tell you more about it here in just a second.
50 million empty flats in China.
and also, these aren't poor people. These aren't, you know, factory workers, whatever. These are China middle class types that front loaded. They paid all their money up front to get in on this cool new building, and then they weren't told 6 months ago, 5 months ago, oh, yeah, we ran out of cash, so we stopped making it. So what I would do is make a sign and call for President Xi to resign and walk down the street and see how far you go. All the networks, except I don't, besides reporting on it, Fox doesn't have anybody on the ground, but CNN, MSNBC, even BBC, they have people on Liz Cheney death watch in Wyoming. There's no other word for it. And the folksy anecdote that I was talking about in 6 a.m. is if you've ever had a relative, a beloved relative, a grandma, great grandma, who was on the glide path to the dirt nap and you know, dying slowly. You know that there's sort of a generalized, you know, hey, we're close and, you know, this is happening. And I know that, like, with my own mother, she went into the hospital for one thing. After 28 years living with multiple sclerosis, she went into the hospital for one thing. She contracted pneumonia. And I had to get out to Port Angeles to Olympic Memorial Hospital. My dad called me and he said, yeah, your mom has pneumonia. She's, you know, she's in a hospital bed with pneumonia. And, you know, not a good scene. And she wants you to come out there. And I, at the time, I literally had to take the night off from Cairo. And I went out there and I knew what was going on. My mom knew that I knew. And my mom gave me like the care and feeding of your dad instructions. And, you know, I promised her that if he wanted to travel, I would go with him. And, you know, and all this. It was, you know, it was almost businesslike, but I knew what it was. And sure enough, I don't think I made it back to Seattle because she died like at 1 a.m. And my dad, you know, called me the next morning and I knew what he was calling about, you know, and the whole thing. But it's sort of a luxury that you have that you know it's coming. Well, that's how they're treating the Liz Cheney primary tomorrow. The Wyoming primary tomorrow is as sure enough a done deal as, you know, Germany versus France in war or World Cup. And this was, I only played this because, you know, if there's a walk-off home run in Brian's life, it's historically to sharpshoot you. If you say something like, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor or whatever, then I'll point out to you that the Germans actually used more torpedoes than bombs at Pearl Harbor or something like that. And MSNBC has a guy on Liz Cheney Death Watch. And remember, she's congressman from Wyoming until the first day of Congress, January 2023. But it's an absolute sure thing that she's going to lose. But she's a darling of the left because she voted for Trump impeachment, right? Even though if anybody, any anchor at MSNBC sat down for 2 minutes and talked about policy and life and America with Liz Cheney, they would vomit, except for this one thing. And so MSNBC sent this chap by the name of Von Hilliard, and he's trying to make a historic analogy that he claims the locals have given him. And the guy just absolutely he's a Johnson stomper is what I'm saying here.
BC News correspondent Von Hilliard. Von, what's the latest?
Yeah, good morning, Mika. You know, if you talk to folks around here, they'll tell you a story about the adventures of Lewis and Clark. As they made their way west, they came here to the Grand Tetons, which is a massive mountain range, steep, just about 5 miles from...
That's Craig playing.
Sorry, yeah, I'll cut out the bad Titanic flute. I thought it was appropriate for the story. Yeah,
he's trying to impart a folksy anecdote to Mika Brzezinski.
If you talk to folks around here, they'll tell you a story about the adventures of Lewis and Clark. As they made their way west, they came here to the Grand Tetons, which is a massive mountain range, steep, just about 5 miles from where we're standing now. And when they got to the Tetons, though, they realized that it wasn't those steep, jagged mountains that were in their way. It was the Snake River, this torrent river that took them days to figure out how to cross, and it was dangerous. And in for many ways, as Liz Cheney has focused her campaign on the idea of saving democracy and this Republican Party, it's the Wyoming voters that are in so many ways her Snake River. And ultimately here in the next 48 hours, we'll have an understanding.
Okay, so there he goes. And if any of you are amateur scholars of the Lewis and Clark adventure, then... You spotted what was wrong with everything he said right there. So let me start at the beginning. If the locals are telling him that story, they're trolling him because, point in fact, the Lewis and Clark Corps of Discovery never physically set foot in what would become Wyoming. So nobody is telling him that. Well, and then they got to the Tetons. Well, they got to the absolute northern bit of the Tetons, which are in Montana. They were looking for the Snake River. No. It's a river. Like, we came up a river. We came up the Mississippi to the Missouri, and then we ran out of river. And, another river. However will we cross it? They had a general rule, by the way. If the river was running, if they got to the other side of the Rockies, all rivers were going to the Pacific. But so anyway, that was the level of reportage from a guy they flew to Wyoming from New York. I guarantee his first time there ever. And he's absolutely... high-stepping on his historic knowledge, Johnson, on that one. But that's the level. That's the guy that they sent out to cover the political death of Liz Cheney. She has been on life support since the beginning of the January 6th hearings. They are probably going to donate her organs. And so it's sort of an Anne Heche of the Republican Party thing. But
too soon on that one.
Well, that went on forever, didn't it? So anyway, for the record, Lewis and Clark used the Snake River to come through Idaho to the Columbia River. And then they...
What? Oh, what are you talking about, man?
Used the Columbia River to get to what is now Astoria, Oregon, the mouth of the Columbia River and the Pacific Ocean. Oh, joy, as Lewis said. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic.
Give me the mic so I can take a whoop. Off on the natural charge, bomb for yard. Yeah, from the home of the Dodger Brooklyn squad.
AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. This is a song featured in the Jamie Foxx vampire movie.
A Public Enemy bump? Do I have that right?
No, it's ODB. Okay, Old Dirty, you know, B.
Okay.
Yeah. And Shimmy Shimmy's a song. And so anyway, it was in the 6 a.m. hour. I was talking about how hard my life is in that I got sucked into the remake of A League of Their Own, the series on Amazon Prime.
I thought you were smarter than that to get sucked into a League of Their Own remake.
You know, if you made a Field of Dreams as a 6-part, and this is, you know, it's a long book. There's a whole bunch that they left out from the W.P. Kinsella novel, Shoeless Joe Jackson and The Field of Dreams. I would watch it until it suddenly rewrote the novel. And so League of Their Own, iconic baseball movie. Clearly, I think it's a top 5 baseball movie, you know, easily. But it has a whimsy and a charm and a humor. It's set during World War II. There's a, you know, so you don't know if Gina, what's her name's husband, Bill Pullman, is alive or dead at one point. You know, but also it's very funny and the baseball good. The Amazon show is horrible, horribly woke. Won't even get into it. But my weekend was salvaged, especially after a coyote was eyeballing my egg machines, with the Netflix, the new Jamie Foxx Netflix show Night Shift, which is hyper violent, but it's also fairly funny. And it's a fictional LA where vampires really exist, and there's a union of people that do nothing but kill vampires and for bounties. And anyway, it's interesting. It's good. If you're into that, if you want, the critics say you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll fall in love all over again. If you see only one movie featuring a famous rapper dressed as a cowboy with a handheld Gatling gun named Snoop Dogg, then this must be it. So the reviews are in. So I saw this. By the way, the Russians are using the Zaporizhia the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe. They're using it as a firebase for artillery, knowing full well
what could go wrong.
Should I be concerned by this? Knowing full well that the Ukrainians, because it is war, you are allowed to shoot back, except that it's a nuclear power plant. And that's what the Russians are banking on. Like, all of Europe is aghast at this. The IAEA has said to Putin, we need to get in there and inspect this place. And Putin's like, well, what's the problem? You know, it's the Ukrainians that are running it. They're in there. They're making the thing work. You know, we get some power from this thing, too. And but we're just using it as an artillery base because it's you talk about olly oxen free. That is what it is. It's literally like putting, it's like the way Hamas fires rockets, you know, next to a kindergarten, from the area right next to a kindergarten, trying to get the Israelis to shoot back. And so anyway, we'll keep paying attention to that. But just here's the thing. Dyatlov had better be near the AZ-5 button. That's all I know. But for the record, it was Toptunov that told him to push.
Reactor 4, designed to operate at 3,200 megawatts, went beyond 33,000.
That sounds like Dr. Evil.
So it's what's his name?
The pressure inside the core.
If you've never seen HBO's Chernobyl, the 5-part, 6-part series, it's exceptional. It's not, it uses the Chernobyl nuclear power plant as sort of a vehicle to show you everything that was wrong structurally about communism. And it's, if you haven't seen it, it's exceptional. And you'll understand what I mean by the AZ-5 button. But anyway, that's ongoing. And I mean, good luck. The IAEA is saying to Putin, because here's the thing, the IAEA actually has leverage. that because Russia belongs to the International Atomic Energy Agency, and their ability to do trade and like provide a nuclear power plant in Iran and all that, that's regulated by the IAEA. But if you have a guy who really couldn't care less about your EIEIO or whatever, then, you know, what are you going to do? So
should we check the texts?
It is time to check your texts. And I just stealth the text check. I didn't even give out the number.
I got one from the 541 to kick us off, if you'd like.
Yeah, I got a Debbie Downer.
Brian, greatly appreciate your historical prowess and knowledge, calling out Dora the Explorer commentator on his Lewis and Clark misadventures. Also, kudos on knowing that not only did the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor and primarily use torpedoes, but that's where they initially launched the V-1 buzz bombs.
Absolutely.
So kudos again.
Yeah, there you go. Were we separated at birth?
The problem with your sense of humor, Brian, is a lot of times I can tell when you're joking, and a lot of times I'm like, was that a joke or not? And I'm sometimes the listeners might have a similar issue.
I have no idea what you mean. Reuben Covington, and I saw this over the weekend. This time last year, we were mourning 13 American service people killed at the Hamid Karzai International Airport because of a botched escape from Afghanistan. One of the dead was Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem Nicol, killed almost a year ago. His older brother committed suicide.
Yeah, just a horrible story.
Yeah. And so, talk about compounding grief on that. Meanwhile, in Kabul, the Taliban are literally having a victory parade. It's VA Day, the one-year anniversary of VA Day for the Taliban. And ISIS is ruining it. Bombs are going off around Kabul because the ISIS-K had a year to plan for this, and they're taking advantage, and they're ruining the Taliban's VA Day parade. Have to be with Greg on that one. Your morning is about to take the slow glide into the dirt nap with that Anne Heche comparison. Well, I'm just
saying. I said it was too soon to invoke Anne Heche in any analogy. They
kept her on life support. And, you know, and this is kind of where Liz Cheney is right now. You know, she's I don't know who.
Don't double down.
It's funny because she'll write a memoir or whatever. No one will buy it. MSNBC is not lining up to bring her on board. Fox won't touch her. And I don't even think that is, you know, on her radar. But I mean, there's no other word for Liz Cheney's political lifeline. It's death watch. And because they don't do a lot of polling in Wyoming because, you know, guess what? The Republicans going to win. But which Republican is the answer? And I mean, is the question. When they check the Trump endorsed Hageman, this woman challenging Liz Cheney, she was beating Liz Cheney by like 30 points.
Oh, yeah. The polls don't even have it close at this point. Her disapproval rating is off the charts right now in Wyoming.
And they were getting so desperate that the Democrats were in there. They want her back so badly. They were trying to get Democrats to cross over and vote for her. But I should say Democrat. When they got a hold of Biff there in Laramie, he said he's sitting this one out. But the lone that's a lone Democrat in Wyoming joke. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Well, not only the story that brought me to this was in the New York Times. In America, more home deals are falling through. There's that. And that leads you right down the China rabbit hole. And so this is happening in America. It's happening, but not as badly as it's happening in China. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. We'll save the best for last. Get you to work with our right way traffic.
You know, if you talk to folks around here, they'll tell you a story about the adventures of Lewis and Clark.
And then Captain Lewis and Captain Clark flipped a coin, and it came up heads. And so
Regalus,
Captain Lewis,
MSNBC dude.
And as they turned the Wright Flyer into the North Carolina wind, Kitty Hawk, it was let history record. It was Captain Meriwether Lewis, in fact, that was the first human being in powered flight. Now, there were several flights that day. Captain Clark did get some stick time. But it was Captain Lewis. That's what the locals told me, Mika, here in Wyoming.
We go to our next MSNBC correspondent.
Have you ever had a dream that you could do so?
What in the hell is that from? Is that a YouTube?
One of those random viral TikTok videos.
Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway, that's so cute. I can practically see the... I'm trying to remember when was the last thing my varmint did anything cute?
I think, say yesterday.
I got to say, it pretty much ends at T-ball for most kids. Yeah, that's the last, you know, everything after... Certainly doesn't happen when they're 13.
Here's one thing I've learned as a dad interacting with social media and incorporating kids into social media. A year or two ago, I used to post the random cute video of my kid doing something funny or endearing. I don't do that much anymore. Like my 5-year-old, we were watching the dance scene from Saturday Night Fever last night, and he gets up in front
of one?
The most famous one, with John Travolta. And my 5-year-old gets up there and starts busting a move, and it's like the cutest thing ever. I videotape it, and I'm like, for 2 seconds... I think, should I post this on Instagram? And I'm like, no, this one's for me. Like, you don't have to broadcast every part of your life to the world. I don't care how cute your kid is being in the moment. Keep it to yourself. Anyway, sorry, a little tangent there.
But no, I can't even mine won't even, you know, we are standing in front of Mount Rainier at the lodge. I'm like, let's do a quick, Instagram thing.
Uh-huh.
And they, them, he, she, him. Are like, and they, you know, cover their face, turn away, don't look, you know, the whole thing. I just say, I'm posting this anyway. You know, you want to look like that, that's fine.
Right, exactly.
Well, this is a story that grabbed me this morning. More home deals are falling through. June saw the highest share of canceled purchase agreements since the start of the pandemic. And you see, here's why. When pandemic lockdowns hit the real estate industry, showings were halted, homes were yanked off the market, municipal offices that process closings were shuttered. As a result, March of 2020, nearly 18% of purchase contracts were canceled. Okay, there's that. But in 2022, the frequency of canceled deals has begun to rise again, reaching nearly 15% last month, the highest rate since the pandemic peak, according to a recent report by Redfin, as they scanned 60,000 failed home sales across the nation, the likely culprit, rising mortgage interest rates. So they're just going to go up. I'm just saying. So meanwhile, in China, this popped up another link. Never mind our that's just someone deciding. You know, I'm going to wait another year or whatever. In China, people 80% of Chinese buy a house before it's made, but the construction companies are going belly up. They're going wontons up. About 50 million people of the Chinese middle class are facing a deal where their money is with the company. The company's gone belly up. The company used their money and they stopped building. And this is going on across China. It is just crazy. Where's the one analogy? The hundreds of angry homeowners in Nanchang, or folks, the anecdote, the capital of China's Jiangxi province, gathered on the roof of an unfinished apartment building. From their perch, they unfurled red and white banners along the outer walls and chanted demands for completion of the homes they had already paid for. On the dirt below, workers inflated a large airbag to catch anyone who jumped. 500 miles away in Shanghai, a 26-year-old interior designer watched video of the protest on social media and saw her life plan falling apart. Because she saw this on social media, the reason she paid attention to it is because they had already bought a place in that building. They didn't know it, but 3 months before the construction had stopped. That's happening there, though far more serious there than here. That's not how we, you know, this is just people canceling deals. And sometimes, you know, when they're still in escrow. New York Times is reporting And then I can't find the New York Times story, but MSN.com, which is still a thing, says that Trump somehow sent a message over the weekend to Attorney General Merrick Garland that people around the U.S. were enraged by the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago, and that they're quoting him as per the New York Times, quote, "The country is on fire. What can I do to reduce the heat?" Close quote. So there's that. I rather sense that in the fullness of this whole thing, they're going to regret doing this. So anyway, if the affidavit is saying that obstruction of justice is suspected, then they didn't need to execute us. Well, I guess they did because they have to prove the point that, hey, he said they gave that stuff up. Here it is. It's got, by the way, folks, it's got nothing to do. Nothing is going to stick about the classified documents or the Espionage Act or whatever. See last hour, text suits to 800-465-8770, because the president is the ultimate authority in classification. Yeah, but the procedure. Okay, well, the president can amend the procedure. The president can take the classified document to the bathroom if he wants and come back out with it. Say it's now declassified. So you might want to take some Lysol to it or something. He would be my nominated final bit of audio would be Bill Maher.
His fortune was finally falling. The big lie was finally losing momentum. DeSantis was beating him in the polls. You know who hates this more than anybody? DeSantis. DeSantis, look, I had this in the bag, and now I got to run against President Martyr. And this is saving Trump politically.
So there they are on the banks of the Snake River, and Captain Lewis turns to Captain Clark and says, "I think you'll find that Thomas Jefferson is the ultimate classification and declassification authority, my good friend William." Captain Clark said, "Well, Meriwether, I stand corrected. Shall we discover Astoria, Oregon?" "Yes, I think it's popping," said Meriwether back to William. So anyway, for more context on what I just said, you can text suits to 800-465-8770. And the that 6 a.m. hour is broadcast history at this point. I have put a little tracker on it. It's already at SeaTac, Greg.
That 6 a.m. hour was unbelievable.
We chipped it. We went to a vet and we chipped
it. If people missed that, shame on you.
So we close our Monday. Dan Bongino's up next. And at Dark Secret Place on the Twitter machine. See you back here tomorrow at 6 a.m. on AM 770 KTTH.